Father, we thank you for all the challenges that happen in life. Help us to understand how we can overcome all the problems, difficulties that we will face with faith and our trust in you. We pray that the sense of understanding of sanctification, holiness, will continue to grow in us. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now we move on from there. We talk about how the Lord's plan is revealed. And you just need to catch this pattern. Once you catch this pattern, you will see things a little bit more clearly, right? Now, we have to begin with salvation. And this is 1 Peter 1. No question about it. Without this part of it done, you cannot begin the next step. And the next step part of it is literally to look in terms of what it really means to be sanctified, right? And the word sanctified literally means to be holy. That's another big word, but that's the same meaning. The simplified word is be holy or be sanctified. Now, unfortunately, many people think that since we are already saved, that's it. No, it's not. Right? Because there are too many things wrong with our life. And if a person is sick, and very often we just think in terms of, okay, take a course in antibiotics, you feel well, and that's it. You think it's over. No, it's not over. That is your general health problem. Then if you only treat things symptomatically, then you will always be in need of medication. It will be every month you need to go and take some medicine or other. But so the best challenge of it all is to cultivate, build health. We need to, and it's something that we want to consider. But the whole idea of holiness, the whole idea of sanctification, is like building spiritual health. And so we need to understand this, because without this, we are going to be prone to almost anything and everything that can hit us. And life is tough. That's something that we all know. So quite a few more questions come up in later on in the afternoon. The question is, what do we do when we grow older? And everybody's concerned, what happens when you grow older? And believe me, growing older is no fun. A lot of things can happen that we have to ask ourselves, how do we cope? And so the Lord teaches us, if we can focus on learning how to cultivate holiness, perfect it, then you will see other things in place. But a lot of people don't understand how this works out. But let's take a look at the notes today that we are looking at. Okay, one of the important things for us, for example, that one of the sessions, we talk about Ephesians 5, how husbands must love their wives and all that. Now, I agree. Okay? But now we look at how wives must behave. See, a lot of wives, the wives only want to be cared for, love me, and so on and so forth. But what's your part? Right? Now, there are many, many things to consider. So we go into this whole idea. See, now we're going to take up the whole idea of sanctification with reference to the family. Right? So here we go. Okay? Be submissive to your own husbands. You know, there are people out there, there are women folk out there who, you know, you cannot breathe too loudly, otherwise she objects. Right? So there is no sense of practice of submission in any way. So some wives are battle axes. Well, never mind if you don't understand that. That's okay. The thing about these things here, right? The challenge is, if they do not obey the Lord's word, even without a word, they may be won by the conduct of their wives. Now that is amazing. Now this is one story that I read many years ago. And this was in the days when Reader's Digest was so much better than what it is today. He wants me to buy Reader's Digest and said, I'm not even interested. It's just nothing but advertisement now. But in those days, they used to contain true life stories, right? And there was this husband and wife. And the husband was actually a lifeguard and a swimming instructor. It's his job, right? And so he had a wife, you know, it was an arranged marriage situation and she couldn't help in any way, right? But her conduct is impeccable. She's attentive, she's obedient, she's dutiful, she's everything you could ask a wife to be, right? That was a, you know, very often an old way of looking at marriage. One day, this husband who goes out to teach people swimming and as a lifeguard, after a while, he was going to bathe and all that, and he used the towels that were used at the club there, and his eyes became affected quite badly. And he came back home yelling, screaming, shouting, agitated, angry, fearful. Because when he saw the doctor, the doctor told him, I'm afraid you're going to lose your eyesight. This disease that you have is too advanced. Now, what's the answer? You need someone who is willing to give you eyes. And he says, that's not possible. How am I going to, what am I going to do? I can't make a living if I can't see, I can't. And so he was just upset, depressed, angry, shouted at the wife, you know, throwing things around, and it was a tough time. And so the doctor told him, if there is an accident somewhere, or if there's a donor somewhere and will give you the eyes, I can still try and save your eyes. Right? But then the person will lose the sight. Now, this is going to be a very difficult kind of operation. Right? And so one day he came back home very happy. And he said, he told the wife, you know, the doctor has found a donor and I don't know who the donor is, but I am just looking forward. It was one of those few times he was nice to her. And so he went in for an operation and he was helped. He came back, he could see. Then he came back home and a few days, he asked the wife, you know, I'm so happy, aren't you happy for me? And she said, yes, of course, I'm happy for you. And then husband looked at her and said, do you know where I am? You know who I am? You know, because you're not looking at me. And then finally he discovered it was the wife who gave her eyes to the husband. And he asked her, why? Why are you doing this? And so she said, I'm useless to you. You don't like me. I cannot do anything to please you. I have only one gift left to give to you. You can read, I can't. You got a job to do, I don't have. I'm useless. There's only one thing I can give you, my eyesight. This is conduct. So you ask yourself, how many of us are willing to do that? And you know, it's something that we didn't think. That left my mind. And she said, I'm no good for anything. I can't find a job. You know, I don't have an educational background. I can do very much at home except to keep house for you. But you're never satisfied. I'm just never good enough. I can give you only one thing that you need. My eyes. This is conduct. How many wives will match what the husband will give? A husband can be loving, but what will she give in return? This is sanctification. The sanctification begins with this whole idea of understanding what it means. It's in a family. And if we don't understand this, we don't model this for our children, what have they learned? Right? Seriously, what have they learned? I have watched over Anthony since he was a little boy. I watched him grow up all these years. Right? So they become very close to me because I've watched them grow up. And this is important. When Alana was born, I was there with that thing that she had. And I saw the love that the mother had when it finally came home after a few days in the hospital. Evelyn loved this little girl. She may not be your normal, perfect built body, but there was no question about how much she loved Alana. She just devoted her whole life to bring up this little girl. And it was a difficult time to prepare them, because I knew she wouldn't live. This is part of the illness that's there. She won't live long. And it was the difficult time. Now, I still remember I was speaking at a camp over in Australia, and she called. And it was not camp, sorry, it was at the church anniversary time, September. And I said, can you wait for a while? I'm coming back. But I can't stop this. I've got to finish ministry here, I'll come back. She said, oh, we'll wait for you. See, this is a family. And it's not just the immediate family, it's a church family. That's the whole idea of the family. I know parent, Anthony's father, I was the one who baptized him. Right? Anthony's grandmother, grandfather. Ministry to them, three generations. That is what it really means. And you teach, you try to help them. There are things that they can do, there are things they don't have. There are things the church can offer that no amount of money can buy. This is holiness that we are looking at. And a lot of families are just dysfunctional. We give in to our children, we give them anything they want, we give them everything they want, and then we pray for their blessings and all that. But they have not been taught right from wrong. They have not been taught what holiness is. They don't know what it means to be sanctified. So what does it mean? And a lot of people don't understand why it's important to teach this to our children. We look at them, we love them, we help them, you know, we feed them, we give them clothes, we get them presents. That's not holiness. We set aside for them and all that, and we indulge in them. We just haven't taught them what holiness is. So how do we teach this with ourselves? So this extends, right? So the salvation part of it goes on into the individual. Now we look at the extension into the family. Right? So there's a husband and wife relation in chapter 3. This is now extended to the family. Right? So 1 Peter 2, we talk about the church. You see, once you understand, it's wave upon wave upon wave. So the individual is one, the family two, the church three, the world four. It's got to move like that. We think our children are near perfect already. That's not true. Then when they grow up, beyond a certain level, you can't reach them anymore. And still we think that they are perfect. How is that going to happen? What's going to do that? It's not going to work. So we have to think of the sanctification part of it as an individual, as a family, as a church, and move on. Right? It's not about activity. It's not about serving here and serving there. That's not the point. The point is, it comes naturally because I am sanctified. I understand what it means. All right, let's look at the text now in 1 Peter 3. Okay, so we have the thing, and it's important for us as a church community. And so we take a look at this thing. It was chapter 3, and this is how we, okay, we have one mind, verse 6 there, because it was 8, sorry. And then we go on, compassion for one another, love as brothers, tender-hearted, courteous, right? There we go. He who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. This must be our family values. It's not about toys. It's not about clothes. It's not about vacation. These are family values. Now, these are important things for us to teach. And if we don't impart these family values to them, what have they got? Nothing much. Right? We can pass them a huge inheritance, but we will not be able to give them these values. What are the things, right? So you love life, see good days, great, it's not a problem. Right? The tongue must refrain from speaking evil. There is no deceit. Right? All these things here, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, his ears open to their prayers. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now, this is important. So these are family values. These family values is part of the sanctification process. So we want to know, now we're coming towards the end of the camp, I need to just quickly understand this. So if I were to practice holiness, and I curse, and I swear, and I lie, and I cheat, and I am deceitful, and so on and so forth, you will never touch holiness. You can't. They don't coexist together. It's either this or that, not both. Right? So now we come to the very famous text in chapter 3 and verse 15. Yeah, this is something that we want to consider very carefully. Right? And this word here, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Yeah? And be ready to give to everyone, a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. Right? Now this is important. We need to teach our children why we do what we do. Why do we get them to behave well? Why do we get them to speak well? Why do we teach them all this? These are values that we're teaching, but where does it come from? Now, this is a very important one, to sanctify the Lord. It goes back to, so what does it mean? What does it mean when you talk about, literally this idea is to truly to consecrate God in their life. So when you look at the heart of a person, right? Let's look at this heart of the person and you ask yourself, is God there? And the answer is most of the time, no. Right? This is what it means to be consecrated. This is to be sanctified. What is it that we need to have? What does it mean to actually teach this? And this is the important things that we have to think about very carefully. Right? So we begin by saying, Lord, where are you in my life? Sanctify, you will be there in my heart. See, a lot of people, the Lord is very often sort of, okay, the next thought, I need to consider it. I also need to factor in God. That's not what it means. Right? It is really the Lord God inside the heart, first and foremost. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This is repeated as the Jewish Shema, Shema again and again and again, every single day, many times. And they will cry out, why? So that it can be inside them. This was very much more practiced after the Assyrian and Babylonian captivity. They told them, no more will we enter into idolatry, as in no more. The Lord must be there. If we can practice it properly. You see, a lot of times when we talk about the Lord in our life, the Lord is a second thought. The Lord is an afterthought. He's not central. He's not central. He's now. That's what we need to think about very carefully. Where is the Lord exactly in our heart, in our life? Right? Now, so the word is sanctified. This is the Lord's prayer. I sanctify myself with your truth. Your word is truth. So how do I practice sanctification? We follow the Lord's word. So what comes in your heart? All the things that pertain to God and His word. Now think about this. It's something that we want to seriously think about. See, but when the word is not in our life, how is God encased inside us? It's not. Right? Now you think about a picture. So you now in the early days, you take a picture. Right? So one, the next step is already captured in the film. You got to develop the film. Right? Not like today's camera technology. Then after that, you have to be very, very carefully. You do what you need to do to clean it up, to make sure, and then you frame it. And then you keep it. And that's what is really important, what's precious. Right? Now, you keep this in your heart all the time. Now, this is how we understand this. So when we talk about practice sanctification, we bring the Word of God into our life, into our heart, so that when we talk about the Lord centered in our life, it's always being backed up, supported, encouraged, strengthened, enlightened, always by the Word. Right? But you only take a picture and it's not developed. That's what we mean by perfecting holiness. So from the film, to the washing of the film, to the development of the film, that's it. Right? And then from then onwards, we want to frame it up. Now, what do you do with it? Now, you can, a lot of times, people don't even bother after a while. It's nothing. See, that's not sanctification. Right? If it is something that is really real and precious, I'll tell you, it will always treasure it and keep it in your heart, and nobody even comes close. That's what sanctification is. Right? And nothing else comes close. This, because this is sealed. That's not going to anybody else. Can't, won't. That is sanctification. And it's a wonderful principle. But very few can practice this or will practice this. Right? You think about this. And so Peter tells them this whole idea of what sanctification is. So we say to the Lord, Lord, I'm going to set you apart. You will be my God. You will be my Lord. You will be all the things. I was very interested to find out from Chi Fung, what do your father like? And interesting, he said, well, of course, John 14, you know, and then he said, Psalm 91. Oh, that's an interesting text to read. Let's read this. I'll be using this for the funeral, Psalm 91. Okay? Most people don't attend funerals, so I will do the funeral right here for you, at least the text. At least the text you will look at very carefully. And I thought that was very, very special and precious. Right? One. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. There we go. It's as if God is in that special secret place that no one is allowed to go there. It's like the Holy of Holies. That's a special place that you have reserved for God. Nobody comes close. Right? This is important for us to understand, so that the person has the Lord in the secret place in his heart. Right? So there we go. The response to the Lord is, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. This is what it means. Right? This is what it means by sanctification. You know, you set the Lord apart. We always say, holiness, set the Lord apart. How? This is how. Right? So there is a place where the Lord is enshrined. This is important. And that's how it works. Many years ago, I used to do house visitation, invite people to church. It was then in Serangoon Garden, covered also in Seletar Hills where we first began, just to tell people, we are a church, I'm the pastor, would you like to come to church? The same thing with Serangoon Garden. So one day I came to a family, this was a Eurasian family, and the old lady opened the gate and said, yeah, please come in. And so you're from a church, good, I also go to church, but she goes to another church. And says, I'm glad you're trying to tell people about God and all that. Can I show you my secret shrine? And so she opened up a door. And there was a shrine to Mary. And there were lights, there was a little bit of an oil lamp there, and there were flowers there. And this is my shrine, my sacred place. Nobody comes in. See, we don't know how to set the Lord apart. We cannot say, the Lord is my refuge, the Lord is my fortress, in whom I will trust. This is sanctification. If the Lord is just an argument, the Lord is just logic, the Lord is just a thought, afterthought, that's not sanctification. And a lot of people don't know how to practice this. Right? Think about this. If only we can understand how this actually works out, and it means a lot. Right? So when we talk about this whole idea of sanctification from 1 Peter 3, this is where it begins. This is where Peter unpacks this thing very carefully. How? How do I pray? So this is the salvation given to me. Right? Now that's already confirmed. Right? We are chosen. Right, we are chosen generation, we are a royal priesthood, we are all of these things here, and we all know these things here. But how do I practice this? How do I practice this sanctification? And for the high priest, every single thing from top to bottom, from his what he wears on the head to the shoes that he has, everything is designed. So every part will remind him, you belong to God. You are a servant of God. You belong as a priest to the Lord. You cannot but practice it. But I don't like this shirt. I don't like this design. Wear. Wow, it's very heavy. I don't like these things here. Do it. You have no choice. Right? But I don't like this food. I like mine boiled. I don't want mine roasted. No choice. Do it. And you train yourself. Until you understand what it means to be sanctified. Most of us take it easy. If I read, fine. If I don't read, fine. How? How is that going to work? I'll think about God if I have the time. If I don't have time, it's all right. And you honestly think that God will reveal himself to you, you're given an attitude, you can forget about it. And a lot of people don't realize why they have not grown. You have not learned to sanctify, Lord. And the word is keyword. Be ready to give to every man for the reason for the hope that is in you. So then we talk about hope. From this word, God in our life comes within us a living hope, a heaven-bound hope. And it's inside us. So people are saying, why do you do this? Why do you sing? Why do you pray before you eat? Why? A lot of people don't understand what they're doing. They're just doing it because everybody does it. Mumble a few words and all that, that's it. Right? But we don't know how to apply this principle of being holy, of being sanctified. We need to learn this. All right? So if people were to ask you, what's your reason? On the spot, you must be able to give a reason. This was something I learned when I was a teenage Christian. I want to be able to give a reason for the hope that is inside me with meekness and fear. And I've practiced this so that anybody asks me any question on any subject with reference to the Bible, I want to be able to give you an answer on the spot. That's what it means to sanctify the Lord. Right? Can a young person do this? No. Until you have really devoted yourself and say, you pick up bit by bit, area by area, topic by topic, subject by subject, you know, one doctrine after another. And you begin to realize to be sanctified is not so easy after all. That's why Paul talked about perfecting holiness. Right? So we begin with our salvation. Then we move on into understand that it must be there for you, then to the family. You bring your influence as a mother, as a father to the children, and you instill this in their children. That's what we want to do. That's what we need to do. And we are just going to be there for each other. That's what it means for each other. Then we learn. And we don't do this. So sometimes the children's segment, the people come in, oh, we got some of the difficulties with the children and so on and so forth. What do? Points out the wrong. They tell lies. Yes. They steal things. Yes. What do? Point them out. Deal with it, but also tell them, today is a new day. We try better. It's inside us, this problem of sin. So don't kid yourself about our children, how wonderful they are. They're not. The problem of sin will be in every single one of us. The question is, how do we cope? And the only way to guard our hearts, to guard our faith, is to sanctify the Lord God in our heart. That's what I want to know. I want to sanctify the Lord in my heart. How? I surround it with the Word of God. I make sure that it's inside me. So that when you ask me any question or anything, what comes out will come from my heart, from the Word, from God. That's my answer. So you practice sanctifying the Lord's Word in the heart. So if I read and I do not remember, does that count? Frankly, no. If I read, but I don't understand, does it count? No. Can I share what I don't know? Come on. You're kidding me. Right? So when we take a look at all these things, we begin to realize what sanctification really means. And it is really challenging to think about what it is all about. Right, now we quickly must go on to the other aspects, and we think about what it means now. This is important for us now. This is where we come to take this topic, and this is the example of what happens if we have to suffer. Right now, this holiness that the Lord has planned for us. Right now, if we were to understand this whole idea of being sanctified, right? So here is one word: salvation is in the heart. Right? Now, the Word of God is in our heart. Okay? Now, of course, faith has to be there. Hope has to be there. You know, bit by bit. Knowledge of God is there. Right? Now, all of these things, once you put this into the heart then becomes filled with it. This is where God is. You have made God the dwelling place in your life. He who dwells in a secret place of Most High. This is how we talk about it. So when people ask questions, what happened? What happens and all of these things come? And you will find that you will understand the idea of grace coming. We talk about the mercy of the Lord. You will have experiences in life. You will see the hand of blessing of the Lord, and so on and so forth. When you fill the heart with all of these things here, then you understand what it means to be sanctified. It's not just a Bible verse you memorize. You pack it in with word of knowledge, of truth, understanding, wisdom, discernment, and everything else you need in order for the Lord to be a part of our life. This is why James tells us, do not be many teachers. Meaning to say, don't think that teaching the Lord's word is an easy thing. Greater is a condemnation. In order to want to be this, you have to be committed, devoted to all of these things. Now, today, tomorrow, 10 years later, 20 years later, and you read and ask yourself, what's inside the heart? And for many people, God is could be there, could be there, it could be there, and then that's it. So is God sanctified in the heart? Frankly, no. So when sufferings come, when challenges come, when problems come, what happens? The faith is shaken. I mean, we'll take a look at these things. I mean, we've seen a lot of these things happen in our church. Right? We've seen people who have looking forward to a baby, and then the baby died. It could be in a miscarriage, it could be after the child is born, or a few years later and the baby dies. We all have seen this. The question is whether we've learned from any of these things. Right? If we have learned through all of it, remember, suffering is really a way of God teaching us. Sometimes we cannot learn until we go through suffering. God wishes that we don't have to go. He would rather bless. But sometimes blessings do not cut it. Not because of anything, because we just are unable to understand it properly. We don't know how to receive a blessing properly. So sometimes the Lord allows suffering to come. But suffering was not to be for nothing. There are lessons the Lord wants to teach. And those lessons can be learned only through suffering. Right? When you're going through it, it's a tough time. So Stephen James, when he goes through all those hard times, it is because of all these things that he learns much more about God than he could ever have learned through any Bible school. So I wanted the two younger ones, Titus and Simon, to go through tough times too. Go ahead, face them. Because if you don't know how to face this hardship, you will never learn the lessons you need to learn. And they will not and cannot be learned by merely reading the Bible. Bible teaching, if it's theoretical, ends with nothing much. It's only when you have lived through it, when you have really gone through it, then can you speak. I want to give you a reason for the hope that is. This is not a textbook thing. This is not a passing of an exam. This is your life. Right? So you sanctify. It's difficult to understand how this until you have something that you, kind of treasure. The question is, what are the things that you treasure? And if it's really, you say, as you say, is your treasure, then it really is the treasure. And you will not allow anything to happen to it. And it's really, really special and precious. And very few things are. Right? Now, I hope you understand what we're trying to do. This is how we practice the idea of 1 Peter 3:15, sanctify. But in the context of one salvation given to us. Right? Now, we understand. Now, we are to be holy. How? This is a sanctification phrase or text that helps us summarize 1, 2, 3. It affects the family. It affects the individual. It affects every aspect of life. And you need to be sanctified. So sometimes we go through suffering. I mean, I speak the whole morning through the afternoon, come back and all that, and the evening as well. Right? Then after a while, something is going to protest. That's why we are Protestant. Right? And so the throat begins to protest and say, wait a minute, this is not good. You've got to, what do I do? I said, well, Lord, I will have to seek you, one, for grace, for mercy, and two, have a shut off time. All right? So after the children, for a while, for a short hour or so, I need to not speak at all. That's how it is. And professional singers will tell you how important that is. And when they are there, you will see them. When they are in silence, you can't get them to say a word. Why? Their throat needs to rest. And then in order for it to keep on going on. But see, we learn things, right? Now we're going to learn through a lot of these things. That's how sanctification is done. It is learned not through Bible memorization, but through life itself. Right? So there's a personal part of it. There's an extension of the family part of it. There's a church part of it. There's a practice part of it in everyday life. And through all of these things here, you are practicing 1 Peter 3:15. People just quote it. So one of the texts that I give to the young disciples, memorize this text first. Oh, I set them a reading timetable. Okay, I want you to read this. You need to fill the heart and the mind with the word. If they do not, they are not going to go anywhere. And being young, if you don't tell them what to read, how to go about it, they won't. But because they're in my class, they know they have to. And that's how they learn. And it's wonderful to see how they have learned. Right? And so sometimes exams come in and say, you know, the family, oh, you must study, you know, never mind about this. And I say, nope, you follow through. Let's see what happens. Can you trust the Lord? You still do your part. You still do your studies and all that. Okay, what do you do? The exam result came out. And well, did you learn to trust the Lord? 4 A's. Hey. Nothing suffered. They learn how to do this. This is what it means. Can this be done? Yes. But we need to help them to grow. And that's going to be important. Okay? Now, I want to tell you, I'm not the only one who is needed to help them. I'll tell you, some of the children are difficult to reach. I must tell you, some of them are really difficult to reach. I can't reach them. They look at me, they're petrified, they'll just stand still. Yes, Pastor, yes. I am not, they will respect, but they will be, you keep your distance, Pastor, please. They don't know how to relax, they don't know how to, nothing. So I have to bring the younger ones and say, okay, now you take over, read it. And with them, they're happy, they give them a hug, they share things with them, not with me. I'm like the principal of a school. What am I called to do? How come I get sent to the principal? It's not meant to be like that. So sometimes I need other people to help. And the young people are best, right, to do this. Well, there are lots of things that we want to think about. Right, perfecting. I'll give you an example of perfecting. So next year, we're going to arrange for a group of young people who will try to look after the kids after lunch. They play on your own. They are the dangerous time. Climb here, climb there, jump here, jump there, do this, do that. Because everybody busy eating. They think their children are all right. You don't know your own children. If you don't guide them, don't mentor them properly, they're going to get into trouble. They're going to fall down one of these days. And they are going to. I was very afraid they would dig up the little tree stump that is there. I watch them, right? So then they realize I'm watching them. They're all quiet. But that's a kind of behavior that doesn't go very far because they know that I'm watching. See, but it's not inside them. We need to help them to do what's inside them, not outside them. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. So far, many of the things we learn, we all know, these are wonderful messages, but they're all still external. Right? We always speak about eternal life. Eternal. Is it important? Yes. But let me add one word. What about your internal life? This is internal life. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Be ready. So I tell the young people, be ready anytime. Right? So they're going to do things. They're going to share their faith at the Easter lunch. Go ahead, do it. We'll support you in other ways. Right? But this is how they practice. So when people ask you why, you know why. You can articulate. You can express. This is a practice of sanctification. Otherwise, we don't have it. Right? So this is our big challenge, to go from salvation to sanctification. This is part of the perfecting holiness concept. And it is a wonderful, but it's going to be difficult. So you've got to add a lot of things inside. The Lord's word will be there. All these things are going to be there. And it's going to be important for us to understand. Right? So many things can go wrong. Like last night, you see me waving here and there because I hear things differently. Right? Because they don't know what I'm talking about. Very often it's like that. The Lord is trying to tell us something and we think, wow. We don't even understand. You know what? You've got to find out what it's all about and then we figure it out. Same thing this morning. The first few sentences, I could hear a word. Until they came over here and, okay, now this is what to adjust. And then, I can hear again. Sometimes we take for granted. Sometimes also we don't want to hear. So, is it good? Yeah. But you don't want to hear. You don't care anyway. But we really want to learn how to practice 1 Peter 3:15. That's a key text. All right? 1 Peter 2, key text. Chapter 1 Peter 1, key text. So I'm just trying to help you put all the key texts together. 1 and 2 and 3. And then we go into the question of what happens when we have to suffer. All right? We'll take a break and then we'll go into that later on. Well, let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you very much for your word. Teach us how to understand this idea of sanctifying you in our hearts. Help us to understand that it means putting your word into our hearts. It means all that it was meant to be. We pray that you teach us how we can truly put this into practice until you are truly sanctified in our heart. And we are able to speak of the hope that is in us, the reason that is inside us. And we can speak it with meekness and with reverence for you. We pray for your blessings. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.